God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Today, Brother Hutchings and Dr. Larry Spargimino talk about an important end times location in the Middle East. It's Petra, the place where Brother Hutchings and many other Bible scholars believe the remnant of Israel will escape to during the tribulation. Brother Hutchings has written a book about it, and he and Ken Klein produced an amazing video on Petra. Both are available through Southwest Radio Ministries, and I'll tell you how to get them later. The book is also one that's included in our summer book clearance, which is currently underway. It's a book you'll want if you don't already have it. Here now are Brother Hutchings and Brother Larry to talk about Petra, Israel's hiding place.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Dr. Spargimino, have you been to Petra?
Yes, I have.
How many times?
Twice.
Twice. When I first went to Petra, there was only one little hotel there. And I understand now there are over 70 hotels. Thousands and thousands of tourists go to Petra every day. When we were there last November, it was extremely crowded, and we're going back in October. It's become one of the important sites in the world. Just a few years ago, no one knew anything about Petra, and yet it has a really interesting and important prophetic future. What is happening in Israel today has a relationship to Petra and its former inhabitants. Dr. Spargimino, perhaps you could tell us some of the background on Petra, Jacob and Esau, and when Esau went down and made Petra or Mount Hor the center of his kingdom.
That was something that led to a great deal of controversy between the Edomites and the Israelites, because we know that the descendants of Esau did not want the Jews to go through that land and turn them away and forbade them to do so. And the Lord tells us, Dr. Hutchings, in Exodus chapter 17, verses 15 and 16, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And here we see that perhaps this is indicating to us where the Palestinians come from. I think they are descendants of the Edomites and the Amalekites. And here in the Word of God, we're told that there would be a controversy from generation to generation. We're certainly seeing that at the present time. If a tourist goes to Petra at the present time, they would see, as you indicate in your book, Petra in History and Prophecy, that this is what we believe Israel's hiding place during the last half of the tribulation. Most Bible readers do not realize that Petra is mentioned many, many times in the Bible. We usually think of Jerusalem as being mentioned, and of course it is. But I believe, Dr. Hutchings, next in line as far as the frequency of reference, it speaks about Petra, about Edom, about Bozrah, and about that area. So this is certainly a very important area for the Bible student.
It certainly is. It's mentioned in different names in the Bible. It's mentioned at Mount Hor first. After Jacob finagled Esau out of his birthright, but that's according to the will of God, because we read that Esau was a profane person and that God hated Esau and loved Jacob even from the mother's womb. Of course, we wonder why that would be, and it was not on what either one of the children were at that time, as Paul explains, but what the descendants of Esau would do and what the descendants of Jacob would do. But after Esau lost his birthright, he went down, we read, to Mount Hor, which is present-day Petra. Mount Hor is right there in the middle of Petra. It's a mountain. And Aaron's tomb is up on Mount Hor because the Bible says that that's where Aaron died. And his tomb is up there right now. You can see the tomb when the sun is just right when you're in Petra on top of Mount Hor. And, of course, Esau made his kingdom in Mount Hor after he chased the Horites out and established his kingdom. And, of course, the descendants of Jacob were in Egypt for approximately, say, 400 years. And when they came out, as you mentioned, the Amalekites, the first people or enemy they met were the Amalekites. Where Amalekite, of course, was a descendant of Esau. And the Bible says they would be continual enemies of Israel. And then they go on down to Edom, and King of Edom wouldn't let them go through and brought an army out and tried to eliminate the Israelites. And the Edomites were the descendants of Esau. And the Bible says there will be continual hatred between these two peoples. And continue on, though, after Israel went into the Promised Land. And we read in scriptures that the Edomites were continual enemies of Israel. They would go across the Arabah in southern Israel and kill the Israelites and raid their cities. And Amaziah one time went down and killed 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. And then took the other 10,000 in and threw them off the cliffs there in Petra. So there's been continual warfare. David had problems with the Edomites. And all during the times of the judges and times of the king. And we come on up to the time that the Babylonians came in and invaded Israel. And Israel at that time thought, well, we can make friends maybe with the Edomites for security reasons. And they made a treaty, a self-defense treaty with the Edomites or Edom. When the Babylonians came in, the Edomites actually joined the Babylonians and helped to destroy the city of Jerusalem. And they took the Israelites into captivity. And they took the Edomites out of Petra and put them in Israel because Israel was a much better place to live than that 30-square-mile city of rock caves. And there's something in the Psalms about that, Dr. Spargimino.
Yes, we read in 137, 1 through 7, it says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof."
So it's evident from that particular scripture that the Edomites joined the Babylonians in destroying Jerusalem and the temple. There was continual hatred between the Amalekites, the Edomites, against Israel. And we read about that in many places in Scripture, that they would have a continual hatred for their brothers, Israel. You know, the Edomites and the Israelites were kin. Yet the Edomites had an intense hatred for the Israelites. And at every opportunity, they tried to destroy Israel. And after the Babylonian captivity, the Israelites returned, and they were several years rebuilding the city and the temple. And during that time, we read that the Edomites continually attacked the builders and tried to keep Israel from returning to the land and rebuilding the city and the temple. The Edomites continued, though, in the land, and during the Roman times, Roman age, when Rome came into the Middle East, the Edomites were still in the land, and Rome did not trust the Israelites with much authority, but they used the Edomites to help them control Israel and the other areas there. And the Herods that you read about in the Bible were Edomites. They were very harsh kings. We remember King Herod, the one who killed the children of Bethlehem, tried to prevent the birth of the Messiah. And one of the Edomite kings, of course, killed James and others. And even up until 66 A.D. to 70 A.D., on one occasion when Jerusalem was under siege, Israel had rebelled against the Romans. They thought that perhaps we can again try to enlist the Edomites to help us, because they were still in the land, still were a very large amount of the population. And so Israel let the Edomites come into Jerusalem to try to help them defend against the Romans. And Josephus notes that the Edomites killed 8,000 Israelites after they let them in. So their intense hatred for Israel continued. As we get into the diaspora and the age of the church, we know that Israel was scattered into all nations, but the Edomites remained in that part of the Middle East, in Israel. Dr. Spargimino, we hear about the problems today, the Palestinians and establishing a Palestinian state. Has there ever been a Palestinian state or a race of people called the Palestinians?
There has never been a Palestinian state. There has never been a race of people called Palestinians. There has never been a Palestinian language. There has never been a Palestinian culture. And so the idea of giving the Palestinians back their land and giving them their country back again, that's something that we hear so often in the news. That's an oxymoron. It doesn't make sense. There never was a nation of Palestinians in the first place. Many of them have come from other parts of the Middle East and have settled there because when the Jew is in the land is prosperous. When the Jewish people came back, when Israel was reconstituted as a state, the prosperity of the land, the agriculture and so forth was growing and increasing. And now that the Jewish people have improved that area, they claim they want their land back. So I think that's a very sad testimony to the fact that the media today, Dr. Hutchings, has gotten on the bandwagon. And the media is itself kind of fueling the part of the trouble that is in the Middle East through ignorance and through many other factors. We see, for example, replacement theology. We see the anti-Semitism that is everywhere in the world that is being voiced by so many in Europe and in the European Union. So one lie feeds upon another, and it's like a snowball going down a big hill. It gets bigger and bigger and more destructive as it goes down the hill.
We wonder why the Palestinians cannot make, or the so-called Palestinians and Israel can't make peace, but it's impossible for an Edomite and a Jew to make peace. There is a continual hatred that goes all the way back to Jacob and Esau. And an Edomite will never make peace with Israel, and I think most of the Palestinians today are the Edomites who stayed in the land, are the descendants of the Edomites who stayed in the land after Israel was scattered into all the world. And we read in Ezekiel chapter 35, here the Jew is coming back into the land in Ezekiel 35 to 38 and 39. And we read here in Ezekiel 35, starting with verse 3. O say unto it, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O Mount Seir. Now, Mount Seir is the same as Mount Hor or Petra. Esau was a hairy man, and Seir is hairy. Edom, it means red, and Esau was red complected. So we read here, O Mount Seir, meaning Petra or Edom, I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, because thou hast a perpetual hatred, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. So even up to the time of the end, we read here that the Edomites will have an eternal hatred for Israel. Well, where are the Edomites today? They are in Israel, because after the Edomites were taken out of Petra by the Babylonians in about 600 B.C., they were placed in Israel, and after that, the Nabataeans came up from Arabia and lived in the city. So the inhabitants of Petra today are not Edomites, but Nabataeans. So they have a perpetual hatred for Israel.
Brother Hutchings, I'm sure many of our listeners will want a copy of your book, Petra in History and Prophecy, and the video, Petra, Israel's Secret Hiding Place. So let me quickly tell everyone how to get them. The book, which is 165 pages in length, is offered for a gift of $18. The video, available on either VHS or DVD, will be sent in appreciation of your $20 contribution. Better yet, get both for a gift of $30. To order, call 1-800-652-1144. 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit our website at swrc.com. Both the book and the video take you to the ancient city of Petra. The video is especially interesting because you'll see everything. It's the next best thing to going there in person. By the way, the book is part of our special summer gift book offers, if you want to get it that way. I'll tell you more about that at the close of the broadcast. But right now, let's rejoin Brother Hutchings and Brother Larry for more on Petra.
Dr. Spargimino, the Bible has much to say about this city of Petra, 30 square miles of cave city. I've been there, probably at least 40 times, led a thousand of people into it. But the Bible indicates that Israel will need a place of safety. That is, those Israelites who are able to escape from the Antichrist during the last half of the tribulation. Now, doesn't the Bible indicate that one-third in the land will escape and go to a place of refuge?
Yes, Dr. Hutchings, there is a very interesting prophecy in the book of Zechariah, chapter 13. I want to read verses 8 and 9. It says, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts, that is two-thirds, therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein." And then verse 9 is very, very significant. There's no way that this could have been fulfilled in the past. Verse 9 says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name." Now, this is God speaking, "and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." So here we see what we find in many other parts of the prophetic scriptures. Number one, there's going to be a time of unbelievable tribulation. Two-thirds will be cut off and die, but then following that, there is going to be a remnant. And that remnant, according to Ezekiel 36 and other prophetic scriptures, is going to be filled with the Spirit of God. God is going to change their hearts. He's going to fulfill the new covenant. He's going to write His law upon their hearts, and never again will they leave Him. And here we see that coming following a time of great tribulation and suffering.
We read in Isaiah 26, verses 20 and 21, I think, about Israel's hiding place during the last half of the tribulation. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. We also read here another scripture in the 60th Psalm that I think refers to the hiding place of Israel, or the Israeli remnant of one-third in the land during the last half of the tribulation. O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Will not thou, O God, which hast cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. So I think this scripture is quite clear that the remnant of Israel will be hid in the strong city of Edom. Brother Jerry is going to come now and tell you how you can get a copy of the book and also the one-hour video that we made on site showing you the city of Petra and how it will be the hiding place of the remnant of Israel during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. As I mentioned earlier in the program, the 165-page book is offered for a gift of $18 and the VHS or DVD for a contribution of $20. Better yet, get the book, Petra in History and Prophecy, and the video, Petra, Israel's Secret Hiding Place, for a gift of $30. To place your order, call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Or visit our website at swrc.com. The book, but not the video, is offered along with the other books in our summer book clearance. It's in Section 2, which features books of 150 pages or more. There are 20 books in that section. Among the titles are When There Is No Miracle by Dr. Robert Wise, Why Do Men Believe Evolution Against All Odds by Dr. Carl Baugh, and many others. Get three titles for a gift of $30. In all, the summer clearance has 31 books, and you can get all of them in appreciation of a $200 offering. Again, to place your order, call 1-800-652-1144 or visit our website at swrc.com. No matter how you contact us, would you please let us know the call letters or dial position of your station? We need this information to properly credit. In some areas, more than one station can be heard in the same cities. And if you don't tell us which one you listen to, we don't know where to credit it. Thanks for your help. Help yourself to some excellent reading while you help Southwest Radio make it through the difficult summer months. Call, write, or go online today to order Petra in History and Prophecy, the book, and the video, Petra, Israel's Secret Hiding Place. Coming up next on most of these stations is today's Bible question and answer. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening today. Be here tomorrow for another interesting Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries Question and Answer. Answering today's question is Dr. Larry Spargimino. We have a question about God, Brother Larry, but before you answer the question, you'll have to define an important word in that question. And the question is this: is God androgynous? So what does androgynous mean?
Androgynous describes a person who possesses both male and female characteristics. It is used of a person whose physical characteristics and demeanor make it difficult to determine if the person is male or female. The online encyclopedia Wikipedia lists many famous people who have an androgynous look, including Marlene Dietrich, Boy George, Michael Jackson, Marilyn Manson, and Tilda Swinton. The last person is known for her role as the White Witch in the new C.S. Lewis movie, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Thanks, Brother Larry. So is God androgynous?
Absolutely not. Genesis 1:27 is often used to prove that God is androgynous. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now it is argued that if human beings were created in the image of God, as the Bible teaches, and since humanity consists of males and females, therefore God must be androgynous and possess the qualities of maleness and femaleness. However, there are three things that we should remember. First of all, the Bible never references God with the neuter pronoun it, nor does the Bible ever follow the practice of some modern publications that alternately use he and she in reference to God. God is always he or him. Secondly, Brother Jerry, Genesis 1:27 does not teach what is claimed by those who claim that God is androgynous. The very verse that is used to show that God is androgynous identifies God with a masculine pronoun. So God created man in his, referring to God's image. In the image of God created he, that's God, him. And the verse goes on to say, male and female created he, that's God, them. The very verse that is used to show that God is androgynous disproves that very thing. Thirdly, the broader context shows that men and women are still men and women. Humanity is not androgynous. Genesis 1:22 and 23 tells us this, and the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, the Hebrew word is isha, because she was taken out of man. The Hebrew word is ish.
Well then, Brother Larry, why does Genesis 1:27 seem to connect the image of God with the idea of maleness and femaleness?
Because the Bible is showing that both men and women have been created in the image of God. This is not a text for male chauvinism. While the Bible teaches that there is a resemblance between human beings and God, it is not a physical resemblance. One of the reasons human beings are like God is because of knowledge, and that's not physical. Both God and people are creatures of knowledge. Colossians 3:10 says that Christians have put on the new man, quote, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, close quotes.
That's today's question and answer. Each month, Q&As and Bible in the News reports are published in a booklet. If you want a copy, call, write, or visit our website. Please include a gift of $3 to cover shipping and handling. Call 800-652-1144. Write to Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or go to the website, swrc.com. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report or question and answer.